You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you for the Broadway Podcast Network. I've talked quite a bit in the past about how much I enjoy watching certain utility players shine when they fill a hole for a starting player. A lot of Yankee fans could probably think back on countless players that have made the most of these opportunities, whether it's Luis Soho or Jerry Harrison Jr., Ricky Ledeay. Players like that are essential parts to any team, especially those with championship aspirations. I think few shows here on Broadway have really created a winning culture for as long as Mean Girls has, the past 3 years or so. And if you've been with us long enough, you probably remember that we've already had the privilege of speaking with a couple folks who made that team so special. Tonight, we're joined by another member of the Mean Girls family who actually made her Broadway debut a little more than a year ago when she was named the standby for Regina George and Gretchen Wieners, and certainly made the most of the opportunities that she was given when she was penciled into the lineup. We're so glad she could join us tonight. So with that being said, if you'll please turn your attention to home plate. Just beyond the marquee, now batting, Kaylin Fu. Kaylin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you here. And I'm sure all the Broadway fans, you know, for all of them who've enjoyed this little holiday block that we're doing, you're a welcome addition to the party. So we're glad you could come.
Yay, good. I'm excited.
Now, you know, we've had stars from a lot of Christmas films, puppeteers, even some Mets players, a real melting pot of guests lately. I do have to know, though, you being a California girl, and you have a little baseball backdrop here, you have five MLB teams you could choose from out there. Who'd you root for growing up?
I was not a sports person, but I feel like I heard a lot about the Oakland A's. So I guess I'll say that because they're the ones I remember.
They've got cool uniforms. I mean, that would have been a good reason too.
Their hats are nice. I like the little A. They look great.
I like that too for selfish reasons. My name is Al. So
there you go. Double meaning.
Absolutely. And, you know, let me ask you, I know that you're a Cali girl and you're currently planted in Wisconsin. I know that you're there with your boyfriend, but, you know, not being around many people, you know, has that been weird for you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pandemic has really stretched people's boundaries in the sense of how they can deal with a lot of time by themselves and not being around their normal social circle or their cast. Like, it was definitely strange to, one, be out of the, have our show shut down and all of a sudden not see these people I've been seeing for the, like, I saw them for 6 months straight, almost every single day. And so all of a sudden to not be around them is really, really weird. And then when we got to Wisconsin, we live in a village. It's only, I think, 1600 people live here. That number is probably old, so it actually might be less now. But it's definitely taught me a lot about patience and, enjoying my own individual time. And, like, I don't know, I think it's taught me a lot about, like, taking up my own space and not relying on others for making dinner decisions or, like, making plans. So I don't know, I think I've learned a lot from it.
And I know, in addition to what you do on Broadway, I know that you're also a voiceover artist. Have you been able to keep busy on that front? You know, I see that you have a pretty professional microphone in front of you. So I take it you've been able to do that work throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, I've gotten to do some really cool projects. Right when the pandemic hit, I actually had booked this animated feature film that now I think is being turned into a television series. And so during this time, they were kind of on the forefront of trying to figure out how to do the home studio situation of getting, like, real raw recordings. So I've luckily been able to work on that. I work a lot in, like, the kids' animation world. You can hear me on, like, Subway and Geico people being, Geico commercials being, like, a weird cheerleader being like, "Go Geico!" or, like, crazy things like that. But that definitely has, like, I think I've stretched myself in the voiceover world because I've had so much time to play around with it. So, yeah.
Do you do character voices as well? You mentioned kids entertainment.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like I play, my prime is like 9 to 12 years old. Like that's like where I sit. I'm like, hey guys, like what are we doing around here? Like me. Like that's who I am.
How did you do that? No, that you just like floored me there, you know, because I'm looking at, you know, a mid-20s girl in front of me doing that voice. You kind of just like took me aback.
Honestly, I think it's like, as a kid, I used to try to imitate the chipmunks. Like the da 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 Alvin and the Chipmunks. And I think that's kind of just stuck with me. So I just kind of take it and I like go from there. But yeah, so.
Wow, that's the base of your impressions, the Chipmunks. That's a tough one to master. So I give you props for
making it. I used to be better at it. I'm really sad. I think it's like, you know how like, well, obviously like guys go through puberty and like their voices drop. I feel like my voice has also dropped because I used to be really good at making the Alvin voice. But now it's like, now I sound older and it's not as fun.
I mean, let's just touch on Mean Girls for a moment. Because, you know, as far as a Broadway debut goes, you can't pick a bigger blockbuster to walk into. How surreal is that? I feel like that's like getting called up to the majors and suddenly you're playing for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I like you just said, I could not ask for a better show to make my debut in, a better company to get, I guess, put into the family, like thrown in. It has been such a pleasure getting to know the people who created the show, the people who are maintaining and continuing the show on. I mean, it's unreal that Tina Fey is my boss. Like, that's unreal. And like, I remember watching the movie in the movie theaters. I remember my dad dropped my best friend and I off at the movie theater. He had no idea what the movie was. He just thought it was like a random teenage girl movie. He's like, cool, I'm just going to drop you guys off. And I just remember thinking it was just so iconic. It was so fun and relatable. And so I think my first week being part of the show, and it was just, I was very much starstruck. I was just so shocked that I was even there and that I was even like invited into the room and that I was going to end up doing it a lot. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know what else could beat it really.
And I take it you had a lot of competition as well for, you know, those types of positions, especially, you know, for Regina and Gretchen, two of the biggest leads in the show. Did you get it like the first go around right when you went in for it?
No. So I had been auditioning for Mean Girls since December of 2018. And so I originally went in for Ashley Park's replacement. She was, I think, the first or second original principal cast member to leave. And so I went in right when she announced that she was leaving and she was going to go do other stuff. So I auditioned in 2018, and I remember I had been doing so many different auditions that I really couldn't keep track of like where I was in the callback world or in the lineup of how close I was getting. And I remember I basically did a bunch of auditions in December, and I get called January 13th, I believe. And my agents were like, hey, like you need to come back to New York because Casey Nicholaw wants to meet you. And I was like, okay, like I will come back to New York to meet Casey Nicholaw. And I went in and auditioned for him. And then the next day was the final callbacks. And so it was between me and three other girls. And so at that moment I was like, oh, I could actually get this. Like I could actually do this. And that was a huge wake up call for me, because I realized how much one, I wanted to be in the show, because I was like, I know I fit in this world. I know I can do this. And I didn't get it that time. And then they called me back in for the tour, and it was between me and one other girl, Megan. And she ended up getting that one. And so at that point I was like, well, I'm like, the tour is out, Broadway's out. Like they have their people. Like, I guess I'll move on. And then maybe a couple months later, I just got an email basically saying, hey, we need someone for the standby. Can you put Regina on tape? And I had never sung Regina for them ever. I had never done the material in the room with them. I never really worked on any of the music. And so I basically sent in I think I got the email on the 15th, and I like recorded that night, and then 2 days later they called me and said, "Great, you got it. Like, you need to be here by next Tuesday." So it was kind of crazy. I went through a lot of hoops to finally get it, but I think it's a testament to your time will come if it's supposed to happen. So, yeah.
It's the same in baseball. It's like a lot of these players that come up, you know, through the minor leagues and have a real shot of making the opening day roster, let's say, they might not get that chance in April, but when their number's called, even if it's the following year, they could still make just as big of an impact no matter when it is. That's the nice thing about both industries, I think. I do have to ask, and I've never asked this question on Break a Bat. When you're an understudy, do you show up to work each day hoping that someone calls out?
Oh my gosh. The only time I would ever hope that is if I woke up. I would like to know if I had my choice. If someone's going to call out, I would love to know at the beginning of the day. Like when I wake up, I get the phone call saying, "Hey, you're going to go on in like 12 hours or whatever." But it is terrifying to be on the train, heading to the theater. Maybe you've eaten like a cheese pizza, a lasagna, some like a full glass of milk or something. And then you get a text while you're like underground on your way to the theater saying, "Hey, you're going to go on for Regina in like 20 minutes. And I'm like, "Oh no." So it's a little, it's scary because, I mean, the job itself just keeps you on your toes constantly. Like this, like the entire, basically your entire days, your weeks and months, whatever, that you're on contract are totally up for grabs. Like anyone can call out, and it doesn't matter if the show has started, you can go on in the middle of the show. It doesn't matter what time it is. So I never wish for anyone to get sick because it's very stressful if all of a sudden it's like you're taken by surprise. But yeah, so.
Well, you talk about that preparation. I think that's important too, because, you know, you have a lot of guys on a baseball team who have the ability to play a lot of different positions. You're going to prep differently to play shortstop than you would to play center field that night. Let me ask you,
the conditioning is different. Yeah.
100%. And you were, you know, you had to immerse yourself in two different roles at any given moment. And I think that's a real great testament, you know, to the type of performer you are. I do have to know. So like behind the scenes, when you do have some notice on who you're going to play, did you have a big difference in your approach when, you know, you were going on for Regina as opposed to going on for Gretchen?
Yeah, I tend to, if I'm going on for Regina, I have to do a wider warm up for my voice just because she sings and I think she just has a larger range. And so there's more that if maybe I haven't been talking a lot that day, or let's say it's a matinee. And so I woke up at 10:30 and the show, and we have to be there at 12 something. Then I know I'm like, okay, I have to spend most of my time while I'm also getting ready, putting my wig on, doing my makeup. I also have to be warming up that entire time. And if I'm going on for Gretchen, a lot of it actually, I do physical warm-ups for both of them, but for Gretchen, I have to read through the script for the most, if I have enough notice, read through the script because she speaks so fast and so much. And it's so specific. Like Tina wrote it in such a natural way that it makes sense to you to like, if for it to just come out, but if you haven't said it in 8 weeks, you're like, where's the what? Like you can't remember the natural of how it comes out natural. So, yeah, I think Gretchen's more about words. Regina's more about vocals.
I love Apex Predator. It's probably one of my favorite songs that I've ever, you know, gotten to see live, to see that performance. I think everything going on the stage is just so fantastic. Actually, a lot of the baseball fans have compared the Yankees theatrical closer, Aroldis Chapman, to the Apex Predator, largely because he's such a diva like Regina George.
Yeah, it's an epic number. It's crazy.
Now, when you made your debut, was it as Regina?
No, it was as Gretchen. Yeah, so I'm very grateful for that because Gretchen, I mean, Broadway is one of those dreams that I think as a kid or as a theater student growing up, you think about, oh, I want to do that eventually, or that's the thing I want to do. And when it actually is happening, when you're sitting behind those pink doors that open for Where Do You Belong, and you're just you have to be frozen on a table, there are those moments where you're like, holy shit, oh my, I am doing this. I am literally, the table is moving. I am doing this right now. And so my debut had so much of that energy because I think I was just in shock. I couldn't believe that I was doing that. I was making my debut on Broadway at 22. Cause I was like, I always assumed like, I'll be on Broadway maybe when I'm like 40. Like, I don't know. Like I'll get there eventually. So when it happened so early, I think I was just in shock. And so I don't think I could have done my debut as Regina because she has her cool. She is so cool. She has her shit together. She doesn't hesitate at anything. And I don't know if I would have been able to pull it off and actually act that way because I just wanted to poop my pants the entire time. And Gretchen kind of has that energy. She's a little flighty. She's like a little nervous constantly. She's a bird. So I was able to kind of harness some of my natural nervous energy and fuel it into her character.
So are you saying that you're a little bit like Gretchen Wieners in your own?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. If I had to choose which one I'm closer to, I'm definitely more of a Gretchen, which I think is why I was seen as her for so much, like in the audition process, why they didn't just assume like, oh, she'd be a good Regina. Cause I definitely don't give off Regina vibes. I really don't. Yeah. I'm definitely more of a Gretchen.
Now, as far as the, you know, the debut goes, are you able to have your family in there? Were you aware of, you know, the fact that you were going to go on for her and have everyone come see you?
Yeah. So when I actually got hired back in July, I basically got the call on July 17th. I was on a contract in Utah and I ended up having to leave this contract 3 weeks early. They were very gracious and so supportive. They're like, great, it's Broadway. You got to go. Your understudy is going to go on for our season. And so they totally cheered me on through the whole thing. But basically my contract was, hey, you're hired on the 17th. We need to get you here by the 23rd because Christina's going on vacation in 3 weeks. So you need to do like a Broadway boot camp and be ready to make your debut in 3 weeks. So I went in knowing that I was going to be actually doing it for 3 weeks. So luckily, like my parents were able to book flights. And so they flew from California. My friends all like took off work. And so like they all were there for I think they went to both shows. I debuted on a double show day. So my debut was at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. And so I think, yeah, my parents and my roommate's mom and her and a couple of other my friends came and saw my debut. It was really sweet.
And you hit a home run, obviously, because I kept bringing you back on the show.
Yeah, so obviously I wasn't horrible.
Yeah, and you were really in such a rhythm, you know, with what you were doing. I know at the time that Broadway had shut down and everything. Where were you when you had gotten the news that there was going to be a little hiatus?
I remember I had slept in that day. I think it was 11 a.m. I was eating some oatmeal in my bed in New York. And we all found out because I think a bunch of articles had been posted. It was like Broadway World, Playbill, all of the articles had been posted saying everything's shut down, like Broadway is shut down. And we all kind of knew that something was going to happen because I think maybe it was 3 or 4 nights in a row before the actual shutdown, we had had meetings as a full company, full house crew and everyone in our audience and before the shows. And basically we kept having restrictions put on our interactions. They were saying, hey, like we haven't heard anything. We don't know if things are going to get shut down for a week or so. Like, you can't have packages sent to the theater anymore. Like you can't have any visitors. No one can go stage door. You kind of just have to like, once you're done with the show, leave. And I think we also weren't allowed to go backstage unnecessarily, like especially if you weren't feeling well. So I think everyone knew that something was going to happen, but we had no clue that it would be for this long. I think once we actually got a we started to realize what was why we were shut down. Everyone knew we were like, this is going to go for a while. We can't, based on just basic facts, we're like, we can't function. The amount of people who get sick in our building, just within the time that I was there, people were constantly sick, and there's no way to not spread those germs. So, it was a rough morning, but I mean, I think we saw it coming a bit.
You know, and obviously now they're talking about late May potentially for a return. I know it's kind of far out, but are you conditioning as if, you know, you would throughout the course of a regular Broadway workout? And has it been tough to stay on your game, you know, in the right way throughout this whole thing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so the hard thing about being a standby is that people bring treats, they give us candy, people have birthdays, and you have to pass this treat table no matter what to get to our dressing room. And so, like, I think I actually have been more active consistently during the pandemic than probably the last 4 months that I was at Mean Girls, because one, it was getting cold, so no one wanted to move. No one wanted to take the extra time to go to the gym before your show, because you're like, I have to get there. I'm going to be freezing, work out, sweat, shower, and then get back into all of my warm winter clothes and go to, like, no one wanted to do that. So I think I've actually found a better routine during the pandemic. But I think, like everyone, like, you fall in and out of your routines, you get bored, you feel like it's stagnant, and so you just want to change things up. But I've tried to give myself, I guess, grace to, if I don't want to work out for a couple of weeks, like, I'm just not going to. I'm going to make sure that I am happy and, like, mentally good. And then I have to remind myself, hey, you feel really good when you move your body from the couch. Like, take a walk. Just a walk. So,
do you, like, meditate or do yoga or anything like that, you know, right from the living room? Because that's one thing that I found a lot of solace in, especially at the beginning of this thing. Because, yeah, you didn't have to move very far to do it, and it still kept me mentally sane, I guess.
Yeah, I love doing yoga. I actually got really into Pilates. I've gotten really into Pilates during this time. But I grew, like, my dad grew up, we meditated all the time, and he basically taught me yoga growing up. So, I've definitely honed in those skills. And I think I agree. It's like, it brings you a lot of peace. Because I think during the pandemic, people complain about, we have so much time and time to think, and no one wants to think because then it gets really scary thinking about the situation. But, I almost consider approaching it like an addiction. You have to acknowledge that there's a problem first to start to tackle the addiction. And then comes all of the other process of, like, trying to deal with it, trying to cope, how to get past it. And so I have found meditation to be really helpful during this time.
Absolutely. And has there been something in particular that you've accomplished or you've learned about yourself throughout this whole thing that you're really proud of?
Oh man. I think I've embraced the part of me that really likes to see the good side of the situation, the positive parts of it. I think growing up, there's this, we battle a lot of things, but I think one thing is the idea of people needing everyone in your life to like you, and also to, like, I think I grew up with the idea of, I'm trying to think of how to word this in the most eloquent way. I remember growing up and people wanting to be more realistic and not wanting to focus on, like, the dreamer parts of situations, of, like, looking at what could happen or what could be. And I think during this time, I have really embraced accepting reality and still finding something positive about it. And for me, like, a big positive is my boyfriend and I are long distance. He, for the most part, lives in Chicago, and I live in New York, because he works regionally all over the place. And so this is the first full year out of, I think, 3 years that we've been together that we actually get to spend basically the entire year together. So even when things get really grim, there's always that reminder of like, hey, if this wasn't happening, I wouldn't get to see my partner for this long of time. So I think I'm proud of that. I'm proud of trying to find the light in the dark.
And it's interesting because, you know, I've spoken with a number of folks who hail from California, and it's usually they have a more chill mindset than a New Yorker. And it's interesting to say that we're, you know, that you said that where you grew up, you know, it wasn't necessarily like that. You know, I, you know, you think of California and everyone's a lot more friendly than your typical New Yorker. And, you know, you have a lot more wiggle room to dream, one would think. But that's why I always find it interesting to hear these different experiences. You know, have a lot of the folks back home seen what you've gone on to accomplish and, you know, wish you big congrats and stay in touch with you and whatnot?
Yeah. Like I have had nothing but support from my hometown and California in general, my college there too. Everyone has been so supportive and so proud. And it's one of those weird things that I remember people, I have some, what I call like my second pair of parents, the people who I grew up around as a kid. And it's been really surprising to hear them and have them reach out to me and say, like, I've always known that you were going to do big, great things. I'm just so proud of you. And, I don't know. I think, it feels good. And it's nice to know that, I don't know, people are proud of me.
No, there's a lot of validation in that. I know what you mean. It's obviously, you know, you create your own happiness. That's one thing that I've certainly learned, you know, throughout this, you know, a lot of time by myself throughout the course of these past several months. But no, I think what you've accomplished is really great. And I know throughout the pandemic, in addition to what you're doing with the voiceover work, you've done a little podcasting work on your own. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So are you talking about my podcast project that I'm currently working on? Is that what you're hinting at?
I am hinting on that.
Okay. so I am, I'm taking on a new, I guess, quote unquote job as director of marketing / also an actor for this podcast called 1 Million Musicals. It's written by Jacob and Shmuel and Alan Blake Batchelor. And we all went to college together. And essentially we are on a mission to write 1 million musicals, which hint, hint, that's going to take like 84,000 years. So who knows if we'll, I don't think we're ever really going to get there, but it's the idea that everything's unlimited. Like we don't have an end point that we're trying to reach necessarily because 1 million is a lot. But we're creating new musicals every month, and Jacob and Alan are fantastic writers and they are so clever and so funny. I consider it, I guess it would be rating G, but it's like BoJack plus South Park plus like Rick and Morty esque, but like for also children. So there's like, there are like life lessons in it. I guess it could totally have like Community vibes to it, I think. They've been writing some really fun musicals, and it's people from all over the entertainment business, film, TV, Broadway. It's been a lot of the Book of Mormon, people and me. So we're saying like the three Mormons and the mean girl. So that's kind of like our inside joke of like, this is like who's behind it. But yeah.
That's exciting. And, you know, I definitely can't wait to listen. And, you know, you've had a wonderful start to your career. And, you know, while you've accomplished a lot, it's about to get a little tough here on Break a Bat. You have a terrified look in your eye. this is called Fastball
Derby. Trivia.
No, it's not the trivia. Wait, did you listen to our trivia episodes?
No.
We do those sometimes, but I didn't. You told me up front not to go too hard on the baseball. So
he was trying to give me some details or like tips and tricks because he played baseball for 12 years. And so he's like, you're going to have like, these are the good teams. And I was like, I can't remember all of this. Like, I don't know what any of this means.
You want to play some trivia, Kaylin? I've got questions and a prize.
You do it. What's on your schedule? Let's go.
I might have a little something prepped here. Let's just take a look-see. Let's go to... Hang on, we're going to find something here. our little seventh inning stretch archive here. This is going to be a fun little treat for the audience. We haven't done this in a little while. Folks, this is the chance for Kaylin to join the Baseball Meets Broadway Trivia Elite. And basically, we'll ask her, you know, a few questions about the Broadway, as well as a couple of baseball questions, just to make it fun, because we are a crossover podcast indeed. So how about this? They're going to all be multiple choice. And if you get enough of them right, you win the prize. How does that sound?
Oh, man. Okay. Okay.
All right.
I thought it was the cheesiest line. Oh, my gosh. Like, wait, the idea, like it's like the... we'll swing a bat at it.
It's the most when they take a crack at
like,
it. It's
like, I really feel like the commercial voiceover brain of mine is like, we'll swing a bat at it. Like, doo-doo.
Do you want to answer the questions in voiceover? Because that would be kind of cool.
No, we'll see what comes out.
Wow. This is fun. I wasn't even planning this tonight, folks. See, as I have said before, one of the things I've learned from the beginning of podcasting, the best times are when you don't have a plan and you just see where the conversation takes you. And obviously, Kaylin wanted to play some trivia. So let's do it.
Okay.
Here is your first question here. It's related to the Broadway. I know growing up, you have a pretty good knowledge of cast albums and whatnot. Let's see how you do. There's been a number of jukebox musicals over the years that honor the songs of various Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, many of which have been nominated for Tony Awards. Which of the following Hall of Famers has yet to have their music featured in a Tony-nominated production? Is it A, Billy Joel, B, The Beach Boys, C, Carole King, or D, Electric Light Orchestra?
Electric Light Orchestra?
The answer is The Beach Boys. Xanadu featured some really great ELO stuff, actually.
No way. Oh, my gosh. When you said The Beach Boys, I immediately went to The Jersey Boys. I'm like, well, that's not it. And I was like, that's wrong, Kaylin. My almost musical theater history teacher's gonna be so mad at me.
That's all right. It's all right. You know what? You're 0-for-1. You still have a couple more at-bats here, a chance to win the prize. Let's go to the baseball side of things here. The Yankees flame-throwing and six-time All-Star closer Aroldis Chapman holds the record for fastest fastball, having thrown 105 miles per hour twice. He also has a nickname. Is it A, the Cuban Missile, B, Mr. November, C, Godzilla, or D, the Chairman of the Board?
Is this even a fair question? Oh my gosh. What's his name again?
Aroldis Chapman. He's a six-time All-Star. He's a world champion. He's kind of like the unofficial mascot of the Break a Bat podcast. He's a very theatrical guy. He hung out backstage at Rock of Ages actually last year. Our audience is very familiar with him.
Give me the choices again.
A, the Cuban Missile. B, Mr. November. C, Godzilla. Or D, the Chairman of the Board.
The Chairman of the Board?
That would be Whitey Ford. Aroldis Chapman is known as the Cuban Missile.
Dang it. I'm really bad at trivia. That's why I said I was nervous that it was going to be trivia. So honestly, my bigger bet, I will try my hardest to answer these questions, but my bet is that I am going to go 0-for-0, like 0-for-0.
Well, how about this? If you don't get this next one right, we'll just cut the whole segment. We don't want anyone to have an offer in the batter's box here. How about this? Let's try this one. Longtime Yankees announcer John Sterling refers to a certain Broadway show during his musical home run call for Yankees third baseman Gio Urshela. Which musical does he refer to? Is it A, Grease, B, Saturday Night Fever, C, Beetlejuice, or D, The Most Happy Fella?
Oh, man. What was the second one?
Saturday Night Fever.
I'm really gonna take a swing at this. D?
You got it. You're on the board. You got yourself a big hit. Gio Urshela, The Most Happy Fella. Wow. That's wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We almost cut it. We almost went snip, snip.
Oh my goodness. That's all right. It's all right. Let's see how you do on this last one here. And if you get it right, we'll give you one more question. You can officially join the winner's circle.
Okay.
Let's see. We've had a number of guests on this podcast that are part of a very storied lineage when it comes to the Wicked on Broadway franchise. Which of the following performers is not a member of that lineage? Is it A, Derek Klena, B, Katie Rose Clark, C, Jackie Burns, or D, Ken Singleton?
I feel like I saw some of these people on your Instagram. So I'm really testing my memory here.
Well, when I say lineage, not the Break of Bat lineage, but the Wicked lineage. Who has not been in Wicked out of those people?
Oh, D?
That is correct. Ken Singleton is the TV voice of the New York Yankees. He's yet to appear on Broadway.
I was like, was this oh my gosh, what's the character in Wicked who he's the teacher and he turns into the animal? I can't remember.
The goat. Professor. Yeah. Wait a second.
Professor Hildebrand.
I'm looking this up.
I can hear an Elphaba say it.
Not Professor Hildebrand.
Oh, Dr. Dillamon. That's what it is.
Dr. Dillamon. Okay, I was confusing Shane Hildebrand there, the former third baseman for the Boston Red Sox.
I had a moment. I was like, Ken. I was like, could he have been a Dillamon? Like, I don't know. I was like, he could have been. I was like, I'm pretty sure the other people have been in the show.
He is a great teacher, so it would not surprise me if he would have made a very good teacher in that show, but probably
would have been. I mean, let's pitch it. Another baseball. Wow, I'm good at this.
Yeah, at seriously. You're like a real pro. I'm very impressed. You're really catching on here.
Thank you.
All right, now here's this last one. Let's see here. Okay. We might have alluded to this earlier. Who holds the record for fastest fastball in Major League history? Is it A, I'll give you some options, David Ortiz, B, Sammy Sosa, C, Aroldis Chapman, or D, Derek Jeter?
It's C.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Welcome to the winner's circle, Kaylin. We have a prize for you. I'll present it with you in just a second here. You can, you know, officially join the...
Thank you. Wow, I'm a winner. We caught you off guard with the trivia, so you know it's okay if you don't have everything prepared.
Well, you know what? Nonetheless, I was going to give this to you whether you got enough questions right anyway, and I was going to give it to you just for coming on the show, but this is your official Chapman on Broadway Break of Bat long sleeve t-shirt. We call it Chapman Swag.
I love that. That's so cool. Yay. Oh, I love swag.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You could wear it to, you know, around the house and just lounge out in it, do your yoga, listen to your show tunes in it. It's a great piece there.
I'll remember when I wear it that I'm a winner.
Absolutely. So you know what? Let's play Fastball Derby. And this is your chance to tell some stories, have the audience learn a little bit more about you. Ninth inning, two outs, Aroldis Chapman's on the mound throwing 105 miles an hour, all the pressure's on. I'll ask you a question. You tell me the first thing that comes to mind. How does that sound?
Okay.
Favorite New York City meal?
Lasagna.
You mentioned lasagna earlier. I could really use some lasagna myself right now.
A good lasagna is really good. Like if it's awesome, like if you get a homemade, like if you go to a small like hole in the wall restaurant and they give you like a homemade lasagna. So good.
Actually, it's so funny you say that. When we went to see Mean Girls, it was me and my sister. It was before you had joined the company. It was 2018. We went to this place. I think it was called Pasta Lovers. It was not far from the August Wilson. And we're Italian. Oh. So that's probably like the least sounding Italian place, but it was like that hole in the wall spot. I did not get the lasagna, but I had some delicious fried calamari. So I know what you're saying about spots like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many all over New York. They're like, I think that's one of my favorite things about New York. So.
Absolutely. Now, if you could play one position in baseball, what would it be?
Catcher.
That's a first time that we've ever had someone say that they would like to be a catcher. You have a lot of control back there, knowing pitchers' tendencies and, you know, a lot of responsibility.
You also like have your spot. Like, this is your spot. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have said they want to be a pitcher. Like, I get that. I get that. Yep. Catcher and pitcher, maybe the easiest position to remember. Like, you're like, yeah, I remember those positions. But also, like, I love, like, I don't know. I feel like you're really important. Like, catchers are really important. From the baseball games I have watched that I can count on my hands.
How about this one? All-time favorite film.
Oh my gosh. What is it called? It's Daniel Day-Lewis. Oh my gosh. His films are literally leaving my brain right now. It's not All Quiet on the Western Front is a book. Oh gosh. I really can't remember what it is. What is it? Daniel Day-Lewis. Not The Portrait. I literally can't think of this. Am I allowed to look it up? Or does it have to come from my memory?
Are you going to like dig through some photos that you've used as like wallpaper on your phone and maybe one of them relates to the movie? I've done that.
Hold, please.
When American Hustle came out, I'm not going to lie, I did have a screenshot of that on my wallpaper.
There will be blood. There will be blood. Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood. I think it's a phenomenal film. That is my answer.
Okay.
Took a quick Google search.
If you had to binge watch either Seinfeld or The Office, which would you choose?
The Office.
Big Office fan?
Not necessarily a big Office fan, but not a big Seinfeld fan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wow, I'm really forgetting titles. I literally was going to say, I like watching this show instead of The Office, but now I can't. It's The Banana Booth. Banana Booth.
Oh, Arrested Development.
Yeah, I would much rather watch Arrested Development than The Office, personally.
That's a good choice, too. I'll give you a pass there. So you're going to binge watch Arrested Development over either of those. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. All-time favorite baseball player?
We've said his name many times tonight. Chapman.
That's a great answer. All right, you could Aroldis Chapman. It is. Rudy. What were you calling him, Rudy? We've had people call him Aroldis and Aristotle. We've had a couple times. You were. Not really in the ballpark.
I feel like I heard Rudy at some point. I don't know.
All right. You're fine. You're fine. All right. Aroldis Chapman's your favorite, so we'll accept that answer. You're on a desert island and can take one Broadway cast album with you. Which album are you taking?
Ooh. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
And that is part of your program. You are at the opera. That's a good one.
Yeah. I think I love that show. I think it's so ahead of its time. Like, wow, I feel like I sound really old when I say it. Like, it's so ahead of its time. Like, whoa.
It's Josh Groban on Broadway. What's better than that?
Dave Malloy just wrote this incredible score. Oh my gosh. I could listen to that for days or months, however long I'm on this desert island.
Favorite late night snack? Two show day. You get home from the August Wilson. It's after midnight. What are you grabbing before you hit the couch?
Cool Ranch Doritos. Love them. Can't leave them.
Proudest moment of your career?
I think definitely in relation to Mean Girls, but I think being the first Asian American Regina George and getting all of the messages and talking to a lot of fellow Asian Americans and people of color who are young artists. That has been, I think, the best part of the job and probably something it was an accident in a lot of ways of me becoming that first Asian American to play her, but it's probably one of my proudest at this point. I'm really, really proud to represent, I guess, my culture, and I guess I'm proud to represent, I don't know how to say this. What do I want to say? How do I want to do this? I feel like I've talked about it so much because it's come up a lot during the pandemic. So I've talked to so many young people of color who are, I don't know, inspired that it can happen. And so, and it's, I think I've become proud of it because I didn't know that I would ever be a person who's carving a path for anyone. So I'm proud of that, I guess. Yeah.
It's a great answer. And you've carved the path really well. That's I think that's a really good way to put it. You know, with that being said, what's we usually just want to wrap every show. What's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
Ooh. Don't compare yourself to anyone else, because it's not worth the time, the mental energy, or the it's not worth agonizing over, because you will never be someone else and no one else will ever be you. So you have to own everything you got.
That's awesome stuff, Kaylin. I really enjoyed this one, and I hope you did too. Yeah, I tried to keep it all light.
It was so great. Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And if all the folks at home want to connect with you on social media, what's the best place where they could find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kaylin Fu, C-A-I-L-E-N, F as in Frank, U as in unicorn. I try not to say like Kaylin F-U because it just sounds like F-U. And I've learned too many times ordering a pizza that if you don't know it's my last name, a pizza guy has taken it personally many times. So.
Unbelievable. My last name is Malafronte. So that's like long and Italian. People spell it wrong all the time. At least, you know, that's pretty easy for the folks at home to find you. Kaylin, F-U.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, well, Kaylin, this has been awesome. I can't thank you enough for joining the show tonight. This is Al Malafronte signing off for the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.